ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18 चैप्टर एंटाइटल किंग सुद्युम्ना बिकम्स अ वुमन।
यूयम् विदो युक्ता तपसा दग्धकिल्बिषा कुता संकल्प वैषम्यम् आंद्रितं विबुदेश्विव।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन।
यू आर ऑल सेल्फ कंट्रोल्ड, वेल बैलेंस्ड इन माइंड एंड अवेयर ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ, एंड बिकॉज ऑफ ऑस्टेरिटीज एंड पेनेंसेस यू आर कंप्लीटली क्लेंस्ड ऑफ ऑल मटीरियल कंटेमिनेशन। Your words, like those of the demigods, are never baffled. Then how is it possible that your determination has failed?
Purport.
We have learned from many Vedic literatures that a benediction or a curse given by the demigods never proves false. By performing austerities and penances, by controlling the senses and mind, and by achieving full knowledge of the absolute truth, one is fully cleansed of material contamination. Then one's words and blessings, like those of the demigods, are never a failure.
Hare Krishna. Before I start the class, I seek the blessings of all my God brothers and God sisters, that I can speak the right words. We are on this 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the title is King Sudyumna Becomes a Woman. The story goes like this, that Manu wants to have a son, and he asks his spiritual master Vasishtha to perform a yagya. But while the yagya was being performed, Manu's wife desired to have a daughter. So he directly approaches the priest and requests him to recite the mantra by which one can have a daughter. And of course, the priest accepts the request, and the daughter is born. So Manu doesn't understand why is it so. So he approaches his spiritual master Vasishtha, and he asks this relevant question. Is it, how is it possible that you are a person who performs austerities and penances and without any mistakes, and how can the result come a different? So today's verse is here, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport that a benediction or a curse given by the demigods never proves false, and by performing austerities and penances one is fully cleansed of material contaminations. Then one's words and blessings, like those of the demigods, are never a failure. So Manu is asking this very, very relevant question. If you see in this material world, the living entities are here because of their various desires. There are so many unlimited desires. And because of the unlimited desires, they approach so many different demigods. Prabhupada mentions in various places that the whole material world revolves around this principle of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. That people approach demigods or they perform some religious activities for what? For artha, that is for sense gratification. And they perform sense gratification activities, why? Means for money, religious basically. We perform religious activities for some money, artha, material benedictions. And by getting material gains, they can perform sense gratification. That is why the whole world is revolving around this. Because everyone has so many desires,
and they want to fulfill all these desires. But Prabhupada mentions, unfortunately, but because everything is temporary, these benedictions which are given to them are also temporary. Srila Prabhupada mentions that people go to sadhu for material happiness and they say, sir, I am suffering from disease. I'll pay you 100 rupees and you please give me blessings. And Prabhupada, in his own words, he says, Prabhupada says that these people say, I will save 1,000 rupees for curing. That means they avoid going to someone. They instead go to a sadhu and say, please give me some 100 rupees and I'll get some disease cured from you. And you'll find there are so many sadhus who will be there, who will cheat them also. They'll say, okay, you come to me and then you pay me this much and I'll relieve you. Why? Because they want to cheat. And because they want to cheat, they get cheating gurus, cheating sadhus also. So Prabhupada mentions that somehow or the other, a living entity has desires and he wants a shortcut. He just, somehow or the other, wants to get everything easily. And that too, many, not much effort also. Many times we see, you know, Prabhupada also mentions like that, that you go to temple and then you have what is called as, you know, a deal with the demigod. That I give you one coconut and you fulfill all my desires. And they have a list of desires. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But in what? In return for what? Maybe some coconut and few garlands, or few flowers. So that's what happens in this material world. But unfortunately, by getting these benedictions, they become baffled. They become baffled completely. There's a nice joke that once a wife, she gets up in the morning and tells her husband that, you know, my dear husband, I had a very nice dream that I saw that in a dream, you just approached me and you gave me a nice set of pearl necklace. So what does that mean, my dear husband? So the husband said, this will come to me in the night. So in the night, the husband comes from the office and he gives a nice packed gift to her and says, this is your gift. So she's so happy, expecting that there is something which she has desired. And then when she opens that, she saw that instead of a gift box, the pearl box, she finds a book. And the book was entitled, The Meaning of Dreams. So she was completely bewildered by that. But that's what happens. You expect something and you may get something else. Just like one person approached the demigod and said, please, my dear Lord, give me a career or give me a job where I can be surrounded by beautiful women around. In fact, he was asking for a career, maybe in the film industry, where he can be always surrounded by so many ladies around. And the demigod said, Tathastu. So the next moment, he got a job. But what job he got? He got a job of a conductor of a ladies' bus, where he'll be always surrounded by ladies around. So we see like that, so many things may happen. You may desire something and you may get something else. In fact, Prabhupada also mentions once during one of his conversation. Prabhupada says that, you know, one time a person went to the bank, a poor man, and he was told by his friend that money draws money. Money attracts money. So this poor man used his intelligence and went to the bank and he stood in front of the cashier. The cashier was busy counting the notes. So this poor man, he just threw a 5 rupee coin, or maybe it's maybe a 1 rupee or that time when Prabhupada was mentioning. But relevantly, supposing you say 10 rupee note, he just threw it through the small window into the cashier's lap or on the cashier's desk. The cashier was busy counting. And he threw it and he was waiting, Prabhupada mentions. He was waiting for some reaction. And waiting, and very happily he was standing there. So after he counted the money, the cashier asked. He said, yes, sir, what do you want? So he says, I know that money attracts money, so I'm waiting. I just threw my 10 rupee note and I'm waiting for the money. So the cashier was very smart. Cashier said, what you're saying, sir, is right. Money attracts money. So you threw the money now, that is attracted me now. You'll not get the money now. So instead of you getting the money, now I got the money. So this money, what you have thrown, is now mine. Right? This is what happens actually. In fact, even, sometimes people may perform so much austerities and so many penances. But then some of the results may be different. The Srimad Bhagavatam also gives this particular instruction in a very nice way. We all know the story of how Indra once committed offense at the lotus feet of Brihaspati, his spiritual master, and because of which he lost his kingdom, he lost all opulence. He approached Brahma, and Brahma, he said that you should go to Vishwarup, and Vishwarup will perform the yajna, and by this you will get back your kingdom. But then Vishwarup was approached, he performed a yajna, but because he also chanted some mantras for the benefit of his family, the mother's side, who is from a demonic side. So when Indra came to know, he beheaded Vishwarup. And the father of Vishwarup, Tvastha, wanted to perform, take a revenge on Indra. So he started performing a yajna, and he performed a yajna so that he can create a living being who can kill Indra. But because he just could not utter the word properly, he uttered a word in an improper way. The result was that a living being was produced who was not to kill Indra but to be killed by Indra. So Prabhupada mentions that many a times we may perform some austerities, but then those austerities sometimes can produce a different result and which may not be in your hands. You may expect a particular benediction, but then that benediction, first of all, you do not know really whether that is of any use for you or not, or if it's any benefit for you or not. Frankly speaking, if you see that for a living entity, whatever position the living entity is in, that is really a benediction, if you see in that way. In this material world, all odds are against us. If you see very, very scrutinizingly, we see that we are not fit to be even surviving here. So many things happening around us. Once His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj said that in our own body, you may not know how many cancer cells are there, which are so potent, anytime they may just pop up. And then you may be diagnosed to have a cancer, you may be diagnosed to have a lung disease, somebody very healthy, and the next moment he may be in a different situation. So whatever you are in, that is the benediction actually you are receiving from the Lord. And if you try to change that situation, what happens is that ultimately you are going to meet with destruction. And that's what would happen. The Shastras also say that. Prabhupada gives an example how Hiranyakashipu performed so much of austerities and penances. Why? Because he wanted to become immortal. How many years? Almost 60,000 years he performed penances. And when Brahma came down, he said, I want to become immortal. Give me that boon. Brahma said, I cannot give you that. And then he said, okay, give me this boon that I cannot be killed by any man or animal, nor in the day, nor the night, outside, inside, by any astra, by shastra. He got this. Brahmaji gave him. But ultimately, what happened? He thought that now he has become immortal, he cannot be killed. But ultimately, he was killed by Lord Narsingdev. In fact, it is said that when you try to desire some extraordinary benefits from the Lord and think that you can rule over or you can control, the result is that what happens is that you get destroyed even before your actual span of life. That's what happens. Ravana. Ravan, he got his benediction from Lord Shiva. But then what did he do? He just abducted Sita. And because of this particular offense, he lost. He lost everything. In fact, he lost miserably. Sometimes when you read Ramayana, you understand that it's such humanly impossible for someone with such a huge army of people around you, soldiers, the ministers, difficult for anyone to kill or difficult for anyone to be defeated. When you see Kara, Dushan, others, so many strong, strong personalities. But then, you know, within few days, months, everything is over. Right? Yes, once I heard His Grace Gaurang Prabhu mentioning about this particular story, that how when one person was has committed an offense and a king imprisoned him and he said, you have to undergo a punishment. Then he gave him three choices. What are three choices? He said, you pay 500 gold coins. Okay. He said, 500 gold coins, too much. Okay. Others, 50 lashes. He said, maybe that's a better proposition. He says, the third choice, he said, 5 kilos of ghee you should drink. So this person thought that 5 kilos of ghee, I think, is better than the other two. So he opted for the third one. He said, yes, I will drink 5 kilos of ghee. So little did he realize that, you know, ghee is such a thing that it's not like juice where you can drink. Somebody can drink 5 kilos of juice, but not ghee. So first he started drinking ghee, but after drinking 2 kilos of ghee, he realized that he could not. Because the condition was that if you cannot fulfill that, then you have to do other things. Then you have to fulfill the other one. So he just 2 kilos of ghee he drank. And after drinking 2 kilos of ghee, he realized, I'm enough. I cannot drink more. He says, okay. Then 50 lashes. He says, I don't mind. Because he did not want to partake with his money. So 50 lashes, by the time he got 30, 35 lashes, he said, enough. Then ultimately he had to give his 500 gold coins as a matter of punishment. And that's what happens here in this material world. We try to circumvent a particular problem and we think that maybe I have avoided this problem. But by doing that, what happens is that we create more problems. Like for this person, if this person would have just given this 500 gold coins, he would not have got a lashes or he would not have to eat so much of drink, so much of ghee. But because he thought that I can avoid giving that money, he just drank ghee, he had 50 lashes and he also had to pay the amount also. All three he had to do. Like there's a nice story that, you know, one boy wanted to get married to a girl of a rich person, a rich farmer. And he said, sir, I want to get married to your daughter. So the father said, fine, no problem, but you have to fulfill one condition. He said, I have three bulls. He said, you just go out in the courtyard and I'm going to release those bulls one after another. So the condition is that if you can catch hold of the tail of the bull, you will get my daughter in marriage. She said, no problem. She was ready. The first bull came out. When the first bull came out, he was very huge. So then this person, the bull started charging at him. He said, this is a big bull. Maybe I should avoid this. So he just, you know, stood aside. He allowed the bull to just run out from that place. He said, maybe the second bull, maybe I will be able to do it. So the second bull came out. When the second bull came out, he was more ferocious than the first bull. and more angrier also. She said, my goodness, I don't want to. He just kept aside and then the other bull also went away. The third bull was very thin, lean. He said, this is the one which I was looking for. Now I'll be able to catch. So as soon as the bull came near, he just jumped to catch hold of the tail. But what he found, there is no tail. So that's what happened. There was no tail there. So sometimes we may think that we can do something, but then we may be baffled in our attempts. Like there was a very nice, well, I don't say it's a nice movie. It just happened that I'll confess, I was on the way to Kolhapur, and normally I get into a bus which doesn't have a video. But this bus had a film going on. It was in a Marathi film. And I could not understand because already 10 minutes of the film was over when I got into the... So, but then thing is that this film was on a person who has been constantly being, you know, like chastised, abused at home, in the office. And the film was like this, where in the house, his wife, his in-laws, all the time shout. He gets late to the office. His boss is a female. So he also, you know, she also goes on chastising him. So all the time he always thinks that, you know, like, the ladies, I don't know how to please the ladies, how to understand the mind of the ladies. So he had that desire that, you know, he should read the mind of the ladies. So in a village, there is one festival which takes place every year, and they have been given that job of, doing the puja for the, it's their turn. So they went to the village, and then when he goes to the altar, some other, you know, like when he comes out, he finds that he's a changed man. And then what does he realize? He thinks that, you know, there's so much of noise all around. And you're going to understand from where the noise is coming. He actually thinks that the ladies are talking to him. Or the ladies are talking on their own, you know. But actually the ladies are not talking. They are just thinking everything, or they are just talking their mind. But this person, he just hears whatever is there in their mind. And sometimes a person, he may encounter some person, one lady, and then lady will talk something, think something bad about him, and he'll just start shouting at him. Like that. He becomes so miserable, he starts fighting with each and every one. Starts fighting with each and every one. And he becomes a miserable wreck. To the extent that, you know, like his newly married wife, she behaves very nicely with him from outside, but inside she's thinking something else, exactly opposite. You know, outside he's saying, please come and sit. And in the mind she's giving bad words. And this person is saying, why is she doing like this? Why is she saying like that? And starts fighting with her. And the lady is wondering, why is he? How can he know my mind? How can this person, my husband, know my mind? I did not think, I said like this in my mind. Why is it happening like this? But the whole thing is that he becomes frustrated. The whole movie is on that he becomes completely frustrated with the whole thing, you know. Then ultimately he goes and said, please take me out of this. You know, I want to be peaceful. I want to be peaceful. I want to be relieved from all this desire for hearing what is there in the mind. So next year it seems he goes to the same place and he desires that, you know, that please get me out of this. So when he comes out, he just goes near and he finds that everything is very quiet and cool, because for 1 year there was so much of anxiety, so much of, you know, things he had heard, crap he had heard from what is there in the minds of the ladies. So he says, now I'm peaceful. Now I'm not able to hear any, or whatever ladies are speaking. But then he's remembering that somebody's speaking something, and he's not able to make out who is this. He runs around here and there, he's not able to find out where. Then he looks up, he sees the birds talking. That means now he started reading the minds of the birds, and that's how the movie ends. But basically, the thing is that a desire, you desire a particular thing, you get something else. And then you are more frustrated, right? You are more frustrated, basically. Prabhupada mentions, conditioned souls are generally bereft of intelligence because of profound desire for sense gratification. These are Prabhupada's actual words. They do not know what benedictions to ask. It is said that devotees are asked, therefore non-devotees are advised in the Shastras to worship various demigods to achieve material benefits. Like if you want to have a beautiful wife, you can go to Durga. If you want to be cured of disease, you go to Sun God. So all requests for benedictions from the demigods, however, are due to material lust. And Prabhupada makes a very nice statement. He says, which will be finished at the end of cosmic manifestation along with those who have bestowed these benedictions. So ultimately, you may ask for all these benedictions, but Prabhupada mentions ultimately, everything will be destroyed at the end of cosmic manifestation along with those who bestow them. So we all know how mentioned about this, how Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, they ask for benediction, like Vrikasur. Another instance, Prabhupada actually quotes this also, that Vrikasur approaches Shiva for a benediction. And what foolish benediction he asks. He says that whoever head I touch, his head should blow into pieces. And then ultimately tries it on Lord Shiva only. And then ultimately Krishna to come and then rescue him. Right? So we see that ultimately whatever benedictions we ask from demigods or from whoever, just happens that, you know, ultimately just meets with ultimately different result. Like another story, you know, one couple is married for almost 60 years. Not married for 60 years, they were in the 60s. They're married for almost 35 years. And the fairy comes and says, I'm pleased by your endeavor of being together for so many years, for 35 years. Said, what benedictions that you want? Please desire anything you want. The wife says that, you know, we have been together for so long. Please, I had a desire that I should travel all over the world and see different places. So then the fairy says, okay, be it. And she gets 2 round-the-world tickets, right, in her hand. And then the husband is asked, what benediction you want? The husband says, this is a very wonderful chance. He says, please give me a benediction that I can be, or I can be with a lady who is 30 years younger to me. So the wife is very depressed. The fairy is also, but the fairy gives a benediction. But what happens? He becomes 95 years old. The wife remains the same. The wife remains 60, but he becomes 95 years old. So that's what happens. You ask for some benedictions and you get different result, actually. That's what happens. Right? So Prabhupada mentions that material benedictions are not always worthy of being called as benedictions. He says, if we possess more and more benediction itself will become a curse. Just as achieving material opulence in this material world requires great strength and endeavor, maintaining it also requires great endeavor. So somebody may get those, but then ultimately then he has to make endeavors to maintain it. That's always a problem. If you ask Anandananda, we will know. Right? When you're talking about wealth in this world, the more wealth you have, that's also anxiety. The less wealth is also an anxiety. But then you ask for more, something more, then there is always an anxiety. Right? Somebody who comes first every time, it's always anxiety. He wants to keep up to that standard. So similarly, if somebody has acquired something in this world, then there is more effort to actually guard that. There's more effort to, more endeavor you have to put just to guard what you have achieved, what you have actually gained. You know, we see many times, like, you know, I know many of them, many of my friends also, like, they have so much of wealth, but then what happens? When you have so much of wealth, then you need so many things. Then you don't know where to invest the money. Then you invest here, you invest there. then you're in anxiety, then you go to drink, and you do not know exactly what to do. Then you become completely baffled, you know. Huh? That's what happens. Like one businessman came to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, he said to Prabhupada, many people who come to Prabhupada for benedictions, for blessings. Huh? And like that, one person came to Prabhupada and Prabhupada, I have so many factories. I have a factory in Jaipur, I have a factory in Delhi. But Prabhupada, I cannot sleep. So much of anxiety. Huh? Prabhupada said, don't worry, you do one thing, give one of your factories to me and you'll be free of anxieties, you know. So actually this person had not come to Prabhupada for giving something of his. He just thought that I'll approach Prabhupada for some cheap things, you know, immediate result. That please bless me that I can sleep well. I don't have any anxiety. Prabhupada said, you give it to us, all your factories, and you'll be able to sleep very nicely. He said, no, Prabhupada, it's all right, no problem. I can manage myself. So Prabhupada told his secretary, please take his address. He said, no, Prabhupada, it's all right. I'll come sometimes, but we also need to come to your house. So please take down the address. So this person had to really give his address to him. Huh? So that's what happens, you know, many times. Prabhupada would just, once Prabhupada, somebody came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you know, please bless me. So Prabhupada said, I bless you that all your material wealth is finished. He says, Prabhupada, I don't want that. That I don't want. He says, Prabhupada, please give me blessings. He says, you have so many sons, give one son to me. He says, no, that I want for myself. So when people go for blessings, even to sadhu, they have already set things, what they want to. When someone doesn't give what they desire or what they want, then they don't want anything. In other words, they just don't want any benediction, they don't want actually. So the point is actually, what is real benediction? What do you mean by that? Is this real benediction that somebody acquires wealth, somebody acquires fame, somebody acquires knowledge, somebody acquires power? Is that real benediction? No. Prabhupada elsewhere mentions that the real benediction is one by which one can come out of the cycle of birth and death and remain eternally engaged in the service of the Lord. That is a real benediction. And many places, then he quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtakam Shloka. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagadish kamaya mama janmani, janmani shavre bhavatat bhakti rahit. I do not want wealth. I do not want followers. I don't want any beautiful woman. I just want that birth after birth, let me be engaged in your service. This is actually the real benediction. This is the real wealth actually. We have a story of Sridhar Kolvecha, isn't it? Like how Sridhar Kolvecha, he was very poor for material standards. And what was his business? He would just sell banana leaves, cups, and where? Not in a place where banana leaves, plantations are scarce. He would sell bananas where banana plantations are right on the road. If you go from Calcutta to Bengal, you'll find so many banana plantations. And this person would sell the same. How much he'll get money? Sometimes he would go hungry. He will not even get anything sold also. And out of that, whatever he would earn, that would also, half of that will go for worship of Ganges. Right? And then his hut, he had a thatched roof with so many holes in it. When it rained, the whole house will be completely wet. Sometimes he would not get anything to eat. He would be chanting the whole day. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The neighbors would shout at him and they say, you fool, why don't you worship Lord Durga like us? See how we are materially wealthy. Please chant. And sometimes in disgust, they would throw some chapatis. He says, eat this. That was the state of Sridhar Kolvecha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai, would come every day, argue with him for 2 hours, and steal away those banana cups and leaves. And would always tell him that, I know that you are a wealthy person, you have that wealth, and I'm going to disclose it one day to everyone. and would wonder, what is he talking about? I don't have any wealth at all. But during the Mahaprakash Leela, can you imagine? Nobody knew who Sridhar is also. Nobody knew who Sridhar is. During Mahaprakash Leela, Chaitanya was said, call Sridhar. So everyone went to who Sridhar. He says, just go to this place and just shout Sridhar and then you'll find that person. Whoever is chanting the holy name over there loudly, that person is, just call him. Sridhar is got over there. So Sridhar, do you remember that? One day I told you that he reminded him that how as a small boy I should come and steal bananas, cups, leaves from you. And said, I told you also that I'll disclose the greatest wealth that you have. And he gives him a darshan. And then he says, please ask for any benediction that you want. Sridhar said, what benedictions can I ask from you, Maharaj? He says, I can give you the 8 mystic siddhis. Now, 8 mystic siddhis is so nice. Huh? In this material world, if I have a desire to go from here to Borivali during a crowded period in the evening, I would rather have that mystic siddhi of reaching in a fraction of a second. Our whole endeavor, we may say, no, I may not ask like this, but our whole endeavor is like this, no? We want fast cars, or sometimes we choose to opt for that particular mode of transport which will reach us faster, isn't it? Even though we may say that I'm not after this siddhis, but supposing, like, you know, if I go to Kolhapur from here to Kolhapur, if I know that some mode of transport will reach me in 4 hours, I would prefer that. I may pay double the amount, but I'll prefer to go by that because it will reach me in 4 hours. Or somebody who has wealth probably will take a flight and go in 1 hour's time. So everyone is after that, isn't it? He said, I will give you the 8 mystic powers, siddhis. He says, I don't want that. He says, what, Sridhar? He says, I will give you one entire planet. Entire planet what? Even if somebody says, I will give you a portion in this area, we'll be after that. Somebody says, I'll give you a place next to Radha Gopinamade. Somebody will be ready to go in for it, isn't it? He says, I'll give you an entire planet. I don't want that. I will give you residence in my own planet, Goloka. He says, I don't even want that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was frustrated. He says, Sridhar, then what do you want? He says, I just only want devotional service. That every birth you come, let me just sell this banana. You come as a small Nimai, come and steal the bananas away. This is what he is saying. Of course, the highest stage, perfection, you know, we cannot imagine that. We are too far away from that particular platform. But what I want to tell you is that what is that benediction, you know, basically. Prabhupada was once speaking to one devotee's parents. And Prabhupada said, devotees have no ambition. So they were wondering, what is he speaking about? Oh, devotees actually have no ambition. So Kirtanand Maharaj, that time Swami, he was there and he said, actually, you know what? Prabhupada is saying that devotees have no ambition. He doesn't have no material ambitions. He was trying to explain to those parents. So Prabhupada became very angry. He said, no. He says, devotees have no ambitions. A devotee only wants to serve Krishna. That's all. Devotee has no ambition. He just only wants to serve Krishna. So we see that sometimes in the Shastras, something may apparently seem to be a curse, but that curse can also be a benediction. For a devotee of the Lord, a benediction, a curse is nothing but a benediction. No? Because why? It is always a service of the Lord. Like in the Shastra, there is an example of, you know, Chitraketu. Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati to become a demon. But then Chitraketu just accepted it. And then ultimately became Vritrasur and he went back to God in the next life. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed. Apparently someone may say, how is it possible that Parikshit Maharaj was cursed? son of a great grandson of the Pandavas and a devotee of the Lord, who has seen Lord Krishna in the womb, how can he be cursed? So Prabhupada mentions, as far as Parikshit Maharaj is concerned, his curse is a benediction, basically. Because in the life of a devotee, whatever happens is ultimately a benediction. Because if it's not for that, then probably there will not be birth of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, there will not be any opportunity for one to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So Parikshit Maharaj was cursed. He took it as a blessing. He went to the bank of the Ganges and he heard from Shukdev Goswami for 7 days, 7 nights. Because Shukdev Maharaj spoke this Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, that's why all of us are benefiting because of that. So ultimately, a curse becomes a benediction. In fact, an incident comes in the mind. This is not actually a curse, but then in the life of Srila Prabhupada, it is how, when Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was having this Radha Damodar Sankirtan, traveling Sankirtan party, and it was resounding success. So many brahmacharis were being, created. So many devotees would become, people would become brahmacharis under his traveling Sankirtan party. And then so many other god brothers would just be envious of him. There'll be so many problems. So Prabhupada, he was a little frustrated. And then he just thought that, I think it's too much of a botheration. Maybe I should go to China. He said like that. Maybe I should go to China. So he just told Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I'm frustrated with this. I should go to China. He had no intention of going to China, but then he thought that maybe I'll go to one distant, isolated place where I don't have to bother about anything else, like that. Because nobody dared to go to China also during that time. It was a communist rule. It's very risky also to go there and preach also. And Prabhupada, they took this seriously, and Prabhupada said, I think what he's saying is right. You should go to China. Prabhupada, no, but what about Radha's Damodar Sankirtan party? He says, I strip you out of the service. You should go to China. He said, okay. Then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, okay, Radha Damodar party was also given by Prabhupada, and I am supposed to please Srila Prabhupada by this effort. So let me please him if he wants me to come to, if he wants me to go to China. So what Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj at that time said, disgust, actually became a really a... Now we see in China, so many devotees have been there. They are taking to this process of Krishna consciousness. Right? So ultimately, when somebody says something like this, that also can become a... Actually, what do real benedictions award? It just breaks through the bodily concept of life and brings us to the spiritual platform. Ultimately, when you know that what is real benediction, one should understand that if someone can understand that he's not a body, he's a soul, and he should act on the platform of the soul, that is actually the real benediction. Amrish Maharaj once, during his memories, he was speaking about how first time when he met Prabhupada, he said he's Alfred Ford, great grandson of Henry Ford. And Prabhupada mentioned, he said, oh, really? Henry Ford, where is he now? So Amrish Prabhu is saying that the moment he asked me, where is Henry Ford now? He understood that now he is nowhere. He's just in name now. And Amrish Prabhu tells that he just cut through this bodily concept, and made me understand that ultimately what's in a name, what you have to do is ultimately serve Krishna. And immediately decided to surrender to Srila Prabhupada. Govindadasi gives an example that once Prabhupada was walking and there was a crab moving around. So Prabhupada asked, why is this sand crab going into the hole? So Govindadasi said, it's by instinct, Prabhupada, instinct. He said, what is instinct? He said, instinct. He said, there's nothing like instinct. The scientists, they do not know anything. That's why they say instinct. Anything they don't know, they say instinct. He says, it's just like the super soul in the heart is guiding that crap to go into the hole. That's what. Just like he gave an example. Just like you have going to a particular house. You have been to the house when you were a child. You knew where the bathroom is. After 35 years, when you go to the same house, no one has to tell you where the bathroom is. Immediately you will go to the bathroom. So similarly, he says, whatever is happening is not by instinct. It's already been there. The super soul is guides. You already know where it is. Just because of past life that you have doing this particular. So you are trained to do that, basically. So then Govindadasi mentions that, you know, Prabhupada actually cuts through all this and then brings us to that platform that, yes, you know, there is, I am a soul and I should serve the Lord. Once Bhavana Prabhu was saying that he was walking through Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills is like a place where, you know, all the celebrities stay in America. And Bhavana Prabhu, while on the walk, he was just looking at his wonderful palaces, palatial buildings and the lawns. He was appreciating those wonderful things. And Prabhupada just walking around, and Prabhupada just understood that Bhavana Prabhu is not keeping attention to what he's saying. So as Bhavana Prabhu was, his mind was engrossed in something else, Prabhupada just immediately made a huge noise and he spat. He spat so loudly and on one of the lawns of those buildings, and Bhavana Prabhu saw this and he came back to his senses. And he was saying that by that act, Prabhupada was trying to mention that what you're talking about, palatial, huge places, all is nothing. I spit at it, you know. It's basically, he was mentioning like that. So anyhow, this is how it is. So, you know, how do you get benedictions? It is said that Prabhupada mentions, Krishna is called Varadeshwarat. He is the bestower of all the benedictions which even the demigods are giving. Varadeshwarat. He is the bestower of all the benedictions. Even what the demigods are giving, unless until the demigods are sanctioned by the Lord, they cannot give the benedictions. So he's the bestower of all benedictions, Prabhupada mentions. And someone who takes shelter of Shila, of the Lord, that person also becomes the bestower of benediction. Prabhupada mentions that when you take shelter of a pure devotee of Krishna, then you get Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his poems, O Vaishnava Thakura, Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakati ache, ami to kangala, Krishna Krishna bole, dhai tava pache pache. Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite paro. You can only give, only you can give Krishna, and Krishna is yours. Ami to kangala, Krishna Krishna bole, dhai tava pache pache. I have nothing, I am poor. I am running after you. Dhai tava pache pache. Krishna Krishna bole. When someone takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, then he gets those benedictions. As I was mentioning that how, you know, in earlier instances, somebody would even see Prabhupada as one news reporter or someone, I don't remember that, would see he was talking to Prabhupada and Prabhupada was eating oranges. And he was taking these orange seeds and throwing it out. And those seeds would directly go into the dustbin. The way he would spit in such a way that it would go and throw into the dustbin, you know. And just seeing this marveled him so much that he became a devotee. Once Nityodit Prabhu was mentioning that when Prabhupada would drink a glass of water and then the sun rays would fall on the glass of the water and the water would shine. And was drinking, once he was giving almost about half an hour description how he drank. And by just looking at it, he became a devotee. If we imitate, probably it will not happen. So, but Prabhupada did that. Shastra mentions, Tulayama Lavenapi, what is that verse? Tulayama Lavenapi, Anaswargam Na Punar Bhavam. Bhagavad Bhakti Sangasya Kim Martya Utashisha. Tulayama Lavenapi, but moments association of a pure devotee to the Lord, What happens? One just doesn't want to go for liberation or for any material benedictions. Na swargam, na punarbhavam. He doesn't want any acquisitions of any heavenly planets, nor liberation. Bhagavat sanghi sanghasya kim marty utash. What to speak of these material benedictions, which are ultimately going to get finished at a time of death? So why somebody has to aspire for that, which is going to be finished ultimately at a time of death? An intelligent person, Prabhupada mentions, an intelligent person should actually aspire for those benedictions which will remain with him even after he leaves the body. Something someone asks for, which is going to get finished at a time of death, is of no use. Why unnecessarily go in for it? Alright? So, ultimately, Prabhupada mentions here that my father would always call sadhus in our house, and he would say, he would never ask for any material benedictions from them. He would call, he'd invite sadhus. Every day he would say there are 2-3 sadhus who would always be there in his house. He'd invite them to his house, and then he would say, please bless my child so that he becomes a devotee of Srimati Radharani. He would not say, please bless me. Prabhupada himself says that. He said he did not ask that, please bless him so that he becomes a scholar, he goes to England. No. He said, please bless him so that he becomes a devotee of Srimati Radharani. So, basically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that for persons engaged in devotional service of the Lord, all material benedictions wait like maid servants. So it's not that one has to endeavor separately for these things. The material acquisitions all will come in due course of time. You may not ask, or you need not ask, the things will come. Why? Because the devotee doesn't ask for it. You ask for it, you don't get it. It's always the nature. When you don't want it, then you get it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, for someone who is a devotee of the Lord, material benedictions, Prabhupada mentions, all material benedictions wait like maid servants. Mukti Devi waits at the door of a devotee to offer liberations, and more than that, at any time. Mukti Devi is just waiting at a doorstep. And then Prabhupada mentions a very wonderful statement. He said, simply by rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can get all the benedictions of the world without separate endeavor. Without separate endeavor. At the same time, devotee, when he gets all these things also, he doesn't, become completely enamored by that. If he gets it, he uses it. But he doesn't become completely, attached to that. Like we have an example of Madhavendra Puri. How Madhavendra Puri was completely dedicated to pursue the mission of the Lord. His Lord, Gopal, mentioned that told him in a dream that you should go to Malaya Parvat and get sandalwood for me for applying on the body. So when he went to Remun on the way, he just desired to taste that Amrita Keli, and suddenly realized that how am I desiring before even Lord has had it, and he goes out into the market. But the Lord understands his desire, and then he steals the pot of kheer for him. He goes to the market. The pujari says, where is this Madhavendra Puri? The Lord has stolen this kheer for you. And then soon the news spreads all over. Even before Madhavendra Puri reaches Jagannath Puri, the news reaches that Gopinath has stolen the kheer for him. So Madhavendra did not want that. First of all, he did not want that anyone should know about it. So he immediately left, first of all, Remuna, thinking that nobody should know. But then by the time he reached Jagannath Puri, already the message was there. Everyone knew that he had done this. But then ultimately he used that for the Lord's service. He thought, okay, because the collector came and he arranged all the sandalwood, he just took that because he wanted to use it for the Lord's service. So whatever anybody gets, a devotee, pure devotee gets, uses for the Lord's service. But they are not actually the benedictions, basically. They are not actually the benedictions. Prabodhanand Saraswati Thakur, all of you know this wonderful verse. Kaivalyam narkayate tridashapur akasha pushpayate dudantendriya kala sarpapatale proktayate damstayate. He says, Kaivalya narkayate, for a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, attainment to heavenly planets is nothing but you know, Kaivalya, Narka, it's like hell. And then, not this one, for liberation is like hell, and attainment of heavenly plans is like will of the west, Fantasmagoria. He said, doesn't want, a devotee doesn't want all these things. A devotee only wants the service to the Lord. Like Dhruva Maharaj, you know, Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom bitter, greater than, he approached, got a mercy of Narad Muni. But when he got the darshan of the Lord, he said, I don't want. I actually wanted, I was looking for a broken piece of glass and I got a real diamond. So this is what happens when one actually serves the Lord under the instructions of a spiritual master. So Prabhupada mentions that we do not want to learn anything. We only want to learn how to serve Krishna. That's all. A devotee only wants to learn how to serve Krishna. And who is the one who is going to teach how to learn Krishna? A representative of the Lord teaches how to serve Krishna. And when one follows that, then one actually gets that benediction, the real benediction that one should be. In fact, the Lord knows our heart. He doesn't want to. You may express, you may have some desire in your heart, but then if you continue on serving, you may not get the way you expect it. The Lord knows what is best for you. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have this wonderful story, this particular verse which Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is mentioning. Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishaya sukh, amrita chadi vishamake ei bada murkh. Krishna is saying, Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishaya sukh. He is worshipping me, but he is also having some desires. Amrita chadi visha mage ei bada murkh. He is just neglecting the amrita and he's asking for poison. He's a fool. But he says, Ami vigye. Krishna says, I am intelligent. How can I be like that? Ami vigye ei murke vishekene deba. He says, Ami vigye ei murke, this fool, why will I give him poison? Swacharanamritya vishaya bhulayeba. I say, I will give him my own charanamrit by which he will forget whatever desires he has. And that is a real thing, what benediction you will get. That you may desire something, but something else may come. Right? So why desire only? Better be busy, engage in the service of the Lord. That's all, nothing else. Just like Prabhupada said, our job is to only serve. A devotee doesn't have an ambition. He just wants to serve. That's all. We have been asked to do a particular thing, just do that. Just serve. The things will come as it comes. You can engage that in the Lord's service. Somebody has desire, you'll get that also. But then by that time you get it, Swacharanamritya vishaya bhulayeba. Krishna will make you forget that also. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he did austerity, but when he got the darshan of the Lord, what did he do? He just said, I don't want anything. Since I had your darshan now, finished. But then he said, no, because he asked for this, take this. Right? I just want to sum up. Very nice, wonderful story. I'll just read this out. Once there were three trees on a hill in the woods. They were discussing their hopes and dreams when the first tree said, someday I hope to be a treasure chest. I could be filled with gold, silver and precious gems and be decorated with intricate carvings. Everyone would see my beauty. Just thinking that maybe somebody will cut my wood and I will become a treasure chest where everyone will put their gold, everything in my box. And everyone will see my beauty. The second tree said, someday I will be a mighty ship. I will take the kings and the queens across the waters and sail to the corners of other world. And everyone will feel safe in me because of the strength of my hull. So this is what the second tree was desiring. The third tree said, I want to grow to be the tallest and the straightest tree in the forest. People will see me on top of the hill and look up to my branches and think of the heavens and God and how close to them I am reaching. I will be the greatest tree of all time and people will always remember me. So he wanted to become the greatest tree. After a few years of praying that the dreams would become true, a group of woodsmen came upon the trees. One came to the first tree and said, "This looks like a strong tree. I think I should be able to sell the wood to a carpenter." And he began cutting it down. The tree was happy because he knew that a carpenter would make him into a treasure chest. He thought that if he has given to a carpenter, means he'll make him a nice treasure chest. So he's very happy. At the second tree, one of the other woodsmen said, "This looks like a strong tree. I should be able to sell it to the shipyard." The second tree was also very happy because he knew that he was on his way to becoming a mighty ship. When the woodsman came upon the tree was frightened because it knew that if it was cut down, its dream would not come true. He wanted to become the greatest tree. One of the woodsmen said, "I don't need anything special from this tree. So I'll take this one," and he cut it down. When the first tree arrived at the carpenter's, he was made into a feed box for animals. Placed in a barn and filled with hay. This was not what he had prayed for. The second tree was cut and made into a small fishing boat. His dreams of being a mighty ship and carrying kings had come to an end. And the third tree was cut into large pieces and left alone in the dark. Now this was their desires. They had desire, the desires were separate. Yet their desires were fulfilled in a different way. But then years went by and the trees forgot their dreams. Then one day, a man and a woman came to the barn. She gave birth and they placed the baby in the hay in the feed box that was made from the first tree. The man wished that he could have made a crib for the baby, but this manger would have to do. Means it's okay. We wanted to make a big cradle, but then this would do. The tree could feel the importance of this event, and it knew that it held the greatest treasure of all time. Years later, a group of men got in the shipping boat made from the second tree. One of them was tired and went to sleep. While they were out on the water, a great storm arose and the tree didn't think it was strong enough to keep the men safe. The men awoke the sleeping man and he stood and said, "Peace," and the storm stopped. At this time, the tree knew that it had carried the King of Kings in its boat. Finally, someone came and got the third tree. It was carried through the streets and the crowd mocked the man who was carrying it. Finally, the man was nailed to the tree and raised in the air to die at the top of a hill. When Sunday came, the tree came to realize that it was strong enough to stand at the top of a hill and be as close to God as was possible because Jesus had been crucified on it. So the moral of the story is that when things don't seem to go your way, always know that God has a plan for you. If you place your trust in Him, He will give you great gifts. Each of the trees got what they wanted, not in the way they had imagined. So we don't always know what God's plans are for us. We just know that His ways are not our ways, but His ways are always best. His ways are always the best, not our ways. So we understand from this that, you know, we do not know what is in store for us, but God knows what is best for us. He knows, Radha Gopinath knows what is good for us. What we need to do, we just become a transparent via media. We become an instrument, that's all, nothing else. Huh? Prabhupada, when he was on the Jaladuta, he said, "I do not know what is in store for you. I just become a puppet. Make me a puppet and dance me the way you want me to dance." Right? So our job is to only serve, follow the instructions, and just, you know, whatever comes in a way, just accept it. Because as someone would say, how do you make God laugh? By revealing your plans to Him. By revealing your plans to God, you make God laugh. Why you want to reveal our plans to Him? He knows what is best. Since He's in our heart, He knows what is best for us. So we only ask for one benediction, that let me not in any circumstance be away from the association of devotees, and let me always serve the Vaishnavas in the mood of humble servant or servant or servant. And that is a real benediction that one should even ask for. We cannot ask for birth out of birth, very high. You know, as once His Grace Devamrit Prabhu or Rasamrit, Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj was saying, that what is praying, he says, I want to go back to Godhead. Saying like that. I don't know whether I don't want to come back. But anyway, we can only pray that under any circumstance, let us always be in the association of devotees. In any circumstances, let us take the shelter of His lotus feet. And in the shelter of lotus feet, in the association of devotees, you know, chant the holy names and follow the principles, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, perform wonderful services. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.